Hello, friends. This is Cliff Knight from Equippers International. Thank you so much for listening to the podcast. We want to lift up Jesus and provide a place for you to learn more about Him and to grow in your relationship with Him. If you find the podcast helpful, feel free to share it with others. We believe it will be a source of blessing and encouragement, and you will be strengthened in your relationship with Jesus. Hello, and welcome back to the Equippers International podcast, where we're walking through the book of Romans, and we're in chapter 7. We're just dealing with the preliminary verses of chapter 7, where Paul's beginning to talk about the believer's relationship to the law. And we've looked at verses 4 and 5, where Paul then talks about how, because of what's happened in the life of the believer, we're now dead to the law and alive to God by being joined to Christ, whereby we bear fruit in our lives. So on one side, Paul's comparing the life of living according to the commandment, whereby there is a wage that's demand because there is a performance. There's a work related to the law, where on the other side, there's just simply the natural bearing of fruit. And Paul talks about that as a result of being joined to Jesus, we can then bear fruit for Him. Then he explains in verse 5 this very interesting truth about the law, and he's going to begin to open up for us the details of his understanding of the law. So this is where we are so far in the discussion. Now, trying to interpret and apply Paul's understanding of the law in a short period of time is kind of like trying to understand and explain Einstein's theory of relativity in about 20 minutes and to think you'll fully understand it. So this is a big task that we have lying ahead. I'm going to try to go slow. I'm going to try to deal with the points as they come up in the text and allow Paul's discussion to kind of inform our discussion. I don't want to veer off too far, but I am going to go to some other places of Paul where he makes similar statements and sheds a little more light on what he's saying. But I would dare say that Paul's understanding of the law and what happened as a result of all that God has done in Christ Jesus is a very foundational principle to understanding the Christian life, to understanding the gospel. And I believe it's an area that a lot of Christians get tangled up in. There's a lot of confusion around the law, and we're going to try to get to Paul's heart in regards to the law. And so just bear with me as we go step by step. So we're at the point in the discussion so far where Paul has just made some general far-sweeping statements like, we have also been made to die to the law through the body of Christ so that we might be joined to another. And then in verse 5, he brings up this truth that the law arouses sinful passions in the flesh that are at work in the members of our body to bear fruit for death. So Paul's always drawing these comparisons and contrasts that are very stark. So he talks about life and death and works and fruit and the spirit and the letter and the newness and the oldness. And all these comparisons are very, very important because Paul uses absolute extremes to help us understand the truth as he sees it. So let's look at verse 6 in this episode and step through what Paul says. He says, but now we have been released from the law. Now, I'm going to stop there. Now, if you read carefully the book of Romans and you spend a lot of time in it, there's key words that pop up. We've talked about the therefores. They are there because, for a reason, Paul is kind of drawing a conclusion or an application to a discussion. We saw that in chapter 5, where Paul says, therefore, having been justified by faith. So he spent the first 4 chapters of the book of Romans leading us into an understanding of the role of faith in our justification or in our being made righteous before God. Therefore, as a result, these things are true, and this is how we respond. And likewise, there's these key words, but now. You wouldn't notice them unless you spent a lot of time in the text. But one rings back to a very important passage we looked at in Romans chapter 3, where Paul says in verse 21, but now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been manifested. And we talked about how very important it was for Paul that outside of the law and the prophets, God chose to manifest his righteousness. Now, it wasn't that he ignored the law and the prophets, but there was only a certain amount that he could communicate through them, and he surely couldn't ultimately bring his righteousness to be manifested and seen apart from Jesus Christ coming and doing what he did. So that "but now" is very important. And we talked about how it's almost like an eschatological term for Paul. It means that now things have been done. Now things are complete. And Paul's now was his present time, and that now continues throughout time. Nothing changes as a result of that. So now we run into another "but now." And Paul says in verse 6, "But now we have been released from the law." Now, this word means exactly what it says. We've been released. We've been untied, untethered from the law. We're no longer connected to the commandment as the basis of a relationship with God. Now remember, we talked about how this passage deals with the Jews and their relationship to the law, but there are some very important spiritual truths for us to understand about the impact of the power of sin and how it works in human nature. It finds its power and opportunity through the commandment. In other words, where there is a commandment to do or not do something, then sin comes in and uses that to stir up, Paul calls it, a sinful passion, a fleshly passion in us to actually do the very thing we're being told not to do. So that's the spiritual principle behind how sin uses law. Now, we'll get into that in more detail as we step through the chapter. But right now, Paul's just slowly walking through and opening up to us his understanding of this. And then in verse 6, he says that now we've been released from the law. And we've died to that which we were bound. So now Paul's going to draw our attention to these realities of old and new, that we were something, but we now are something else. This is going to be a way for Paul to communicate throughout his letters. He's always going to be talking about the new and the old, the new man and the old man, the newness of the spirit, the oldness of the letter. And this is going to be very, very, very foundational in his understanding of what God has done in Christ Jesus. Now, it shouldn't come as any surprise. I was just thinking earlier before I made this episode about how Jesus talks about how can you put new wine in old wineskins? You cannot, because the old wineskins will stretch and burst. They can't contain the new wine. And so this whole idea of new and old is very important. So Paul's going to be constantly referring to this idea of new and old. And it's very important that we understand the impact of how he understood new and old. Now, when we, for instance, talk about the new year, we bring in the new year, out with the old and in with the new. That practically means that the old year is gone. It doesn't exist anymore. And this is the truth behind what Paul's talking about when he talks about old and new. And this is where a lot of the confusion comes in the Christian life. Now, I just want to spend time in this episode just introducing this idea of old and new, because it's going to be very important as we begin to unpack the characteristics of the old and the new. But right now, I just want to read a passage from a book that I'm currently reading. It's called The End of the Law, Mosaic Covenant and Pauline Theology by a guy named Jason Mayer. But I just want to read a paragraph because I think it just really enhances what we're talking about here. He says that in Romans 7, 6, Paul gives the explanation and the expansion of what he says in verses 4 and 5. He says, "Bearing fruit for God means serving in the newness of the Spirit. That is, the Spirit gives birth to newness and fuels new life further. The correlation between newness and spirit and oldness and letter in verse 6 will become a key piece of evidence in understanding the new covenant's correlation with the spirit and not the letter." So the comparison between fruit and newness is enlightening for the whole discussion. Fruit grows on a tree because of the root system that causes it to grow. The root system accounts for the origin of the fruit and acts as the catalyst that causes further growth. And in the same way, the Spirit accounts for the origin of new life and accounts as the catalyst for further life. So he's saying that Paul is telling us that the origin of life comes by the Spirit. Death came by the letter, and life comes by the Spirit. This contrast between life by the Spirit and death by the letter is going to be something that Paul develops extensively in his understanding of the law. But right now, he just introduces this statement that we serve according to the newness of the Spirit and not according to the oldness of the letter. Now, in the next episode, I want to branch off a little bit into a couple other passages where Paul talks about this idea of old and new, so we can kind of navigate where Paul's going to go in his discussion of the law. But suffice it to say, right now, it's a very, very important truth for Paul, and he's going to go through great pains in many places in his letters to make sure that Christians, Jew or Gentile alike, understand the proper relationship they have to the law. He's going to make it very clear that in the life of the believer, the activity of the Spirit, the newness of the ministry of the Spirit of God in the life of a person has replaced the oldness of the letter of the law that the law once occupied in the hearts of men. So be strong and courageous and love Jesus more.